Hey everyone, what's going on? Welcome to a brand new review on the Sam Bissell podcast on the Ambiguous Podcast Solutions. And right now I'm going to be doing a review for the brand new Zack Snyder film Rebel Moon Part 1, A Child of Fire, which stars Sophia Botello, Charlie Hunnam, Jaime Hansu, Ray Fisher, Cleopatra Coleman, Ed Skern, Anthony Hopkins, and of course was directed by Zack Snyder.
We're going to have to fight. I am a child of war. I find warriors to fight with us.
We might stand a chance.
We're searching for soldiers for a fight against the mother world.
I could help you.
Now, Rebel Moon Part 1, A Child of Fire is a film that is set in the fictional galaxy ruled by the Mother World, in which its military, the Imperium, threatens a farming colony on the moon Veldet, and Korra, a former Imperium soldier, ventures on a quest to recruit warriors from across the galaxy to make a stand against the Imperium before they return to Veldet. And again, this film is part one of two, with the second film coming out in the spring of 2024. But I'm somebody who is not a big Zack Snyder fan, but somebody who appreciates the work that Zack Snyder does. I think he's a very different filmmaker than really anybody else working right now, between people like Christopher Nolan, Denis Villeneuve, Emerald Fennell, Greta Gerwig. I think he's just somebody who works on a different level, and he's somebody who has his detractors, but he does have people that really do support a lot of the work that he does. Of course, his stuff in DC with Man of Steel, BVS, Zack Snyder's Justice League, to other things that he's done, such as 300, Army of the Dead, you have Watchmen as well. So he's somebody that I think what he's known for is his visual feats and what he's able to do on the screen that impresses a lot of people. And sometimes his stories can work really, really well. I was a big fan of his last film, Army of the Dead, when that came out in 2021. I've been looking forward to this film. I think if you know some of the history behind making this movie and kind of the inception of where these ideas for Rebel Moon came, it first was initially something that Zack Snyder said he pitched 20 years ago when he was in college, and an idea that he's been having for a long time. But the more well-known answer for this idea came from a pitch that he did for Lucasfilm back before it was bought by Disney in 2012, where he had this idea for a kind of a more adult Star Wars film. And then, of course, it was bought by Disney, and they would do a little bit more, of course, commercial family appeal. And so that idea was scrapped from the table with Zack Snyder and Lucasfilm. So now, all these years later, it's molded and evolved into what we know now as Rebel Moon. So I've been really looking forward to this film. I really have enjoyed the trailers that have come out for this one. And so overall, coming out of the film, my reactions to it is I thought that this was a fun, entertaining science fiction film. I don't think it's on the level of something like Army of the Dead, which I think is, to me, still his best film overall, even including things like the Snyder Cut of Justice League and 300, Watchmen, Dawn of the Dead, all those movies that he's done. To me, Army of the Dead is still the best thing that he has made overall, and I think this isn't on that level, but it's still a very entertaining, enjoyable film. I didn't see this film on Netflix. I did go to the Paris Theater in New York City, which is a theater that is owned by Netflix, one of the very few that Netflix operates in the entirety of the United States. And so I wanted to see this on the big screen because I feel like even though Zack Snyder's films have been on Netflix, he still makes films for the big screen. He wants that visual epic flair that comes with it, even though if you're watching it on a laptop or on your TV, it still has that flair that it deserves to be seen on the biggest screen possible. And so I do think that this is a film that I really did enjoy and had a lot of fun with, and I think that enjoyment was enhanced by the theatrical experience. And there's definitely a lot of inspiration that came from this film. Of course, like I was saying before, with meeting with Lucasfilm, the Star Wars references and callbacks are very much there. I also think there's a lot of blending between other sci-fi classics like Dune and Blade Runner, and I also think there's a little bit of the fantasy kind of element sprinkled throughout it, very much akin to Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings. So I think all that has itself working towards it, and I do think Snyder does a great job in creating a brand new universe and world. And I do think that within that, there's a lot in there that has potential. And unfortunately, there's some things that I feel like there could be more potential in there than what was reached in this film. But I do think there's a lot more positives than negatives in this that can have some enjoyment in the film. Overall, I think when we talk about the below-the-line work in this film, I really have to give that a big credit because, once again, like all Zack Snyder films, even if you don't like the story and the characters, visually, aesthetically, everything is A-plus work from the crew of this film. I think the visual effects in this film are very well done, very, very well done for a Netflix film. Again, it has that movie-level quality to it that even if you were to watch it at home, you feel like you're seeing something that, again, you would see in a movie theater that has that production quality to it that they very much sank money into this project. I think the production design in this film is very well done. I felt like I was in these worlds. And again, kind of like Star Wars, it feels very much kind of lived in throughout the years and the centuries for however long these worlds have been operating for. And you feel that within the walls and the rooms and the alleyways and the farms and the fields. Everything feels like it's worn in and lived in, and there's story and mythology and something to be told behind every single one of the pieces that is done in this movie. I thought the makeup was outstanding. Nothing felt off when I saw these new aliens and species. There's one in particular that I felt a little off, but I think that was, even though I was raving about the visual effects, there was one thing that was a little wonky, mean, but it was very, very small and very, very brief that it didn't really take me out of anything. But I think when you look at the prosthetics and the makeup, everything is done practically for the most part and looks so incredibly well done. I think the cinematography, which in the last couple films has been done by Zack Snyder himself, is A-plus material as well. The visually, even just the first couple of scenes in this film just look gorgeous, and they kick it right off the bat with some stunning imagery, and it just carries over for the rest of the 2+ hours that you're watching this film. I thought the action sequences were really well done, and even though I'm somebody who doesn't really like the slow motion appeal of Zack Snyder, and this film definitely has some slow motion elements to it, and I think fans of Zack Snyder will enjoy the elements and times that he does do and put those aesthetics in there that people know him to do. But I think overall the action sequences were really, really well done, really well choreographed, and I think it's led by an incredible talented ensemble leads from everyone that worked in this cast, from Sofia Boutella, Charlie Hunnam, Jaimin Hansu. I thought Ed Skarin played a great, terrifying villain, and I'm excited to see where that goes in the next part as well, and along with some of these other characters too. I really did enjoy seeing this ensemble kind of come together and seeing their chemistry kind of work off one another. I thought they all did a very, very well done job in this film. I think if there were a couple standouts, it's Ed Skern, Sofia Boutella, and also Ray Fisher stuck out to me. Even though he has a small part in this movie, his performance really, really, it does it for me in this movie. And I'm excited to see where a lot of these characters again go in part two for this film. And to me, I really did enjoy the first half of this film. I think to me, the best parts of the movie that are great in my mind come from the first act, when we're on Valdette, when we're learning about Korra and her history and why she's on this planet, why she fears the Imperium and this army. Now, all that really works well for me. And some of the things I think are kind of lacking in the screenplay in the middle towards the second half of the film. And I love the third act action sequences. I think that was great. But there were story elements and things within the script that really worked for me in the first part that I felt were lacking in the second half of this film. That goes into some of the negatives that I had for this film. I think overall, the story definitely could have been fleshed out a little bit more as well. This also very much has a kind of Seven Samurai, Dirty Dozen, Magnificent Seven feel to it, where you're gathering up this ragtag group of people together for this one mission. And again, I felt like the first half of the film really delved deep into Korra and some of her characters. But once we're kind of getting all these different people together, I felt like there was something lacking in the character development of those characters. characters. I feel like Zach was trying to pace everything up where it's like, okay, we got to go here, then we got to go here, and got to go here. And while we're meeting all these new characters, we don't get time within those aspects to really put meat on the bones with these characters. And while they were interesting when I first met them, I wanted to know more about them. I wanted to learn about them as the story was going on. And I feel like that stuff was never really happening, and there were things about the film that I just wish we had more character development within. And I felt like in the film there were definitely some aspects that were missing within those character arcs, especially in the middle portion of the film, and I just felt like we were lacking in some of those elements that I feel like we're probably going to get with a director's cut. And I just feel like with the director's cut, and I'm excited to see what Zach does in a more fleshed out film, I would have loved to see those scenes in this movie. And it definitely feels like, even though this film's PG-13, there's definitely elements where I could see Zach wanted to go R, especially in some of the action sequences. And looking and me visualizing what the director's cut would look like, I can see where there's probably going to be more gratuitous violence, where there's going to be more character development. And to me, it was annoying a little bit, even though, again, I'm excited to see what he's going to do. It was annoying just to think about, oh, well, when this comes out, then I'll enjoy this a little bit more, when in the moment I want to be enjoying it. And I think what makes me love Army of the Dead so much is that that tells a complete story. And sure, it is something that can be developed more in the future, and there's more installments that can happen. That feels like a universe that is formulating. That film tells a complete story, and it feels like all the elements are there. And this is something that I remember being frustrated about when Batman vs. Superman came out, where there were clearly elements in the theatrical cut of that film that were missing, that were filled in by director's cut. And knowing that there's a director's cut coming out, I feel like it undercuts this film a little bit. And even though I enjoy elements of this film, I just know that there's another installment coming that makes me think, well, why am I really watching this? And even though I enjoyed what I was watching, sometimes there were some elements where I'm just thinking, I could just be waiting for this extended slash director's cut to be coming out, and I could get more of probably what I'm hoping to get within this film. So once I see the director's cut, I'll probably do a review of that and really get to see the fully formed version that Zack Snyder wants to come out with. But overall, even though there were some negatives in this film, and a lot of it has to do with the story and some of the character development elements, the things that we do get, especially with characters, I did enjoy. I did enjoy the performances, and I felt like I was gravitating to this team and these people in this universe. And by the end of the film, where it definitely leaves off with a very good cliffhanger, I am intrigued and enticed to see how this story wraps up or continues with part two coming out next year. So there were definitely enough elements that gravitated toward me that I would say this is still an enjoyable science fiction film. If you're somebody who loves original sci-fi and exploring new worlds and armies and characters and species, I think you'll find enjoyment out of this. I would recommend probably waiting until the director's cut comes out, because I just, again, feel, and I think you'll feel the same way, where it feels a little undercooked in some elements, and there's more to be desired, and that desire is going to come in the form of this director's cut. But whatever way you check out, whether you check out both the theatrical cut and the director's cut, or if you check one or the other out, I still would recommend checking it out over the holiday season. I think you'll get a lot of enjoyment out of this, whether you see it in theaters or on Netflix. I think there's a lot there to enjoy, to have fun with, and really have a good time with watching Rebel Moon Part 1, A Child of Fire. So I would give this film overall 6.7 out of 10 stars. So that would be my review for Rebel Moon Part 1, A Child of Fire. What did you think about the film? If you've seen it yet, let me know down in the comment section below and leave your thoughts. But with that down and out of the way, that will do it for this review on the Sam Bassell Podcast. Once again, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to check out my channel for more content. You can check me out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Radio Public, SoundCloud, and much more. Also, make sure to tune in to the Ambiguous Podcast Solutions, and be sure to check out the other amazing shows that are on here, such as You Mad Bro, the number one source to see what the internet is pissed off about on a weekly basis. Also, make sure to check out Goal Driven Professionals, geared toward improving improving client relations, return on investment, and customer acquisition costs for independent businesses and services. Also, make sure to check out The Daily Grind, a weekly motivational podcast with Kelly Johnson, give you everyday tips and key takeaways on reaching your goals. Also, along the way, make sure to check out these other amazing shows on the Podcast Solutions, such as Wrestle Attic Radio, WrestleMania Podcast, and Midnight Showing. You can check these out and so much more on the website, ambiguouspodcastsolutions.com, also on Facebook and X at Real Ambiguous. And if you want to check out Canopy Treehouse, use the coupon code AMBIGUOUS. Also, when you get a chance, make sure to follow me on social media. You can find me on X at Bissell Samuel, that's BUSSELLSAMUEL, and also on Facebook at Sam Bissell. Once again, everyone, thank you so much for tuning into this review, and until next time, keep on screening.
I have found her, the most wanted fugitive in the known universe.
New age for the universe.